10% cheerful giver, May 2014. I know it's a strange title, but listen. Many years ago, I went to a Baptist church for about 3 years. At collection time, while playing soft music, a person would read Malachi 3:10. I'll read the verse later. And added that God loves a cheerful giver, which comes from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. How can you mix law and grace together? I mean by that, how can you take part of the law as stated in Malachi and combine that with the teaching of Paul for the dispensation of grace? Malachi is under the law, we're under grace. Kind of hard to combine those two. One day the pastor said that the first 10% of growth comes to this church. Now he's making a law. He's making his own law. I haven't seen that in the Bible. So that was surprising. I knew that to give 10% was more than I could give, because I was giving, but not to that rate. I had a goal to increase until I reached 10%. I never reached that goal when I was going to that church. After months of this teaching, I figured out that God must be happy if you gave at least 10%. Right? So I came up with this saying, God loves a 10% cheerful giver, or more. Or maybe God loves you more if you give more. Okay, well, beware of charlatans. When you give, will God give you back more than what you gave? Have you not seen on TV some guy that say, send money to donations, money to this ministry, and God will give you 100-fold more, blah, 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 blah. Right? Promises, promises. We're talking about a human person making promises for God, that God will bless you with more riches. I hate to tell God what to do. So I figured out that when you give to a TV preacher or to any organization that's on TV, I won't name them, but you know them, you've probably seen lots of commercials. When you give to a TV preacher, he gets richer, he gets more money, and you become poorer because you gave money so you don't have that money. And you get nothing back, because I don't think God is in the business of giving you back. Then, you know, I'd give $1,000 a month if I get 100% more, or 100 times more. I'd give tons of money if I could do that. Man, I'd be riding in a Mercedes, you know, top notch, the best. Whatever you want to ride. I wouldn't be living in this place. I'm not saying never give to TV preachers. There are some good people out there that need support. But give to those that you can trust, where the money is not wasted, which is another big problem in the organization, because sometimes they waste a lot of the money that they get. It is good to support honest preachers. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5, verse 18, for the scripture said that thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and then the laborer is worthy of his reward. So the preacher is worthy of receiving compensation or support for what he does. But I'm saying don't give foolishly. The problem with using Malachi, once you read carefully Malachi from verse 8, I'm going to read verse 8 through 10. Malachi 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this old nation. The entire nation of Israel was guilty of not following the law of tithing and offerings. Verse 10, that's the one they use in churches. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The storehouse is the key word, is one of the key words in there. Because they were not giving only money. They were giving of the increase of crops, of increase of the beasts, the animals. And that's, you know, there was, you have to read the Old Testament law to figure out how to, this is done. It's kind of complex and some for me. When you do that, you discover that God was not happy with Israel because they did not follow the law of giving. And that was an obligation. They had to give. Once in a while, the pastor would use this, will the man rob God? Read that as, we don't have enough money, you guys have to give to us more because, you know, money is low this time. Oh, that reminds me of something. Every summertime, the offerings were low. And I asked the pastor, I said, you know that every year you get, you know, people attend more in the wintertime than they attend in the summertime. That's natural. People have vacations and they keep my money for doing other things and stuff like that. Go to the cottage. And I said, don't you plan for the low months? Because you have good months like January, February, you're going to have, you know, people are in attendance and they give. But in June, July, they give less because they're not in attendance. They don't come to church. And I said this. This is troubling to me because I come in the summertime and you're blasting us who are coming to the church. Okay, stop telling us, tell the other guys who are not coming, stop telling me that you that you are not getting enough money to operate the church. No. Okay, so now we see that the tone has changed from give 10% or more to you better feel guilty of robbing God. See, that's why they use this, because they want you to feel guilty. Will a man rob God? Yeah, I guess I've been robbing God, so I better even, yeah, come on. Don't you love religion? Do you see the problem here? Pastors all over the world are putting people under their law. God is not asking anyone today to give and to give and to give. God is not against you giving, but he didn't put under a law to give. As I said there about what Paul was saying, well, oh, it's coming. What did the Lord say? Now, then, you know, the Lord knew his things. So in Acts 20, verse 35, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is always true to in any dispensation. It's always more blessed to give than to receive. should we not follow the words of the Lord's advice? This is something to think about. You know, not putting pressure on anybody here. Note that you should not expect material blessings. The Lord will recompense you at the judgment seat of Christ. So what does Paul say? Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, he says, every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly and or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, that's the principle in the dispensation of grace. You're free to give whatever you want. If you want to give nothing, give nothing. If you want to give $500 every month, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. But do not give more than you really can, because you're going to get in financial trouble, may end up in bankruptcy. Yeah, you know the problem. So if you don't have money this month, you give nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you how I solved this problem for myself. I had the problem that I would give every month to one ministry, to another ministry, and I had the problem of how much do I give? Why, you know, like last month I gave to this person, but this month I'm not giving to that person. So I ended up putting myself onto bondage, onto a guilt process. What I mean by that is that, you know, I had this feeling that, did I give enough? You know, should I not give to this person or to that person? I solved this. I made a simple budget. So as part of my monthly budget, I reserve a certain amount every month to give to ministries, organizations, whatever I want. Okay? So I simply took the amount, put it on a sheet of paper. You know, I could divide a piece of paper, do what you want with it. Okay? And I started, okay, let's say with $200 a month. Okay, so at the month, they say the beginning of the month of May, or in May, I would write at the top of the page, let's say $200. And then as I gave to different groups, organizations, ministries, I would remove the amount. When I get to zero, I stop giving. That removed the way, you know, that I felt. It just calmed me. Now I know that I give a certain amount every month. I'm not saying it's 200, I just give that as an example. But this way, by putting it into my budget, and I encourage everyone, if you don't have a budget, make one. It's simple. One sheet of paper for me is good enough for every financial topic. Okay, I have one piece of paper for saving, one piece of paper for my checking account, one piece of paper for my credit cards, and one piece of paper for my donations, and you go on from there. This way, everything is in its place, and I pre-budget things, like donations, I pre-budget. Credit cards, I don't pre-budget, but I know I have enough money in my savings account to cover all the expenses. Also, I have a sheet for the entire month. So I have a sheet that says May 2014, and in that sheet, I put my expected income. And in my case, it's very simple because it's fixed income, I'm retired. So, but if you're not retired, you have, let's say, pay number one, I expect $400, $1,000, whatever. Pay number two, I expect, okay, another $1,000. And you adjust it when you get your pay. So then, if you're in that situation, what you can do is delay everything by 1 month. Okay, so you take this month's income, and at the end of the month, you add it up and you say, I'm going to give 5%. And you put that 5% into the next month. Then you pre-budget that 5%. So you remove it from the month of May and you ship it into the month of June. And a simple process that in the month of June, you know how much you're going to give. Like 3% of whatever your net income. Don't go by gross income. It throws you off completely. You can't do it with gross income. You got income tax, you got other things to spend, it doesn't work. So it's a simple budgeting system that I developed for myself, and I've been changing the way I budget things through the years. Because when I was working, when I had a mortgage, things like that, I used to put in the amount that I pay for cable, telephone, electricity. I don't do that anymore. I just live differently now that I'm retired. But I adjusted my budget according to what I expect to spend in the month. So it's a very simple thing to do. So get yourself, do a budget. And then this way, you know where you're going. For example, one thing that you can put in your budget is pre-plan to save a certain amount of money every month, let's say for your municipal taxes. So when you get to your municipal taxes at the beginning of the year, you already have the amount and you didn't touch it. Because you pre-spend it in your mind, you already pre-spend the amount, but you didn't spend it, really. You just put it aside until those taxes are due. Whatever method you use, okay, whatever works for you. So for me, I developed some very, very simple budgeting methods, and it works really well. So never let anyone pressure you to give. And if you have to, walk away. Because if you don't like something, you don't feel right about it, get out. Move on. Because that's the thing that people do, is that they will try to put you under pressure and say, well, this month, within people should give more. That's not the way Christianity should work. Christianity says to you, yes, there are some requirements, some things we'd like to do, and if you guys want to contribute, fine. But if your people don't contribute, then things don't get done. But don't pressure people in giving, because then what happened when I was in that church, at one time they wanted $50,000 for a special project. And at the same time they said that we would not use this equipment that they were going to buy for $50,000. Tell me, would you contribute to something that gives you nothing back? So I never gave to that project. I didn't feel it was right to do, but other people contributed because they said, yeah, it'll be good for the elderly, there's something special, modification to the church, the building. So myself, I got up the guilt trip of giving, which was one of my problems. I come from a very religious system, a big, big religious system that always put you back on a guilt trip. So automatically I felt that I was, into this guilt trip. So I cut the chain of the guilt by putting my giving into a budget. So now I'm no more a 10% cheerful giver. That is the title of this video. Have a good day.